Well, like I told the kids, this is my favorite story in scripture, and you already know a little bit why. But I really want to dig into the details of this gospel story. For this is a story that's present into all four gospels. But the context for Matthew is actually really stunning, and there's a lot of subtle details in it. Right before this grassy banquet, there was another banquet at the beginning of chapter 14. But this banquet was for a birthday party for King Herod. So there's this comparison of banquets. But at King Herod's, there's riches and wealth on display. And this banquet ends in a very horrible way. Like we hear about, John the Baptist was murdered and his head is on a platter. It's not great. It's pretty shocking and terrible, especially for Jesus and his disciples. I imagine that Jesus and his disciples were grieving this terrible death, but they were also really scared, for this meant that they could be next. And so from this banquet and the news of this banquet, they retreat to a deserted place, a wilderness place. And wilderness is something that we are called to pay attention to in Scripture. For the wilderness is wild and ever-changing, full of beasts. Throughout the Bible, wilderness is a place of discernment, God's presence, provision, and promise. In the wilderness, Abram fed three strangers and was promised an inheritance of many generations. In the wilderness, newly freed slaves of Egypt found a new name, a new relationship with God, and were fed manna from heaven, a bread that sustained them for 40 years. After being in the wilderness for 40 days, Jesus was tempted by Satan to make stones into bread, and he refused. And now this time in the wilderness, he and his disciples gathered to grieve and regroup, but instead of being alone, they're followed by a giant crowd. More specifically, a number that grew to 5,000 men. And this number should perk up our ears because this was the size of a Roman legion. A crowd this size would not be allowed to gather without the empire knowing. A crowd this size was more than the populations of all the neighboring towns. A crowd this size, especially one that is grieving the death of one of their leaders, well, that could be dangerous. And like I talked about with the kids, Matthew notes that there were also women and children, and many people in the crowd were sick, so there were probably helpers for the sick. So this number is closer to 14,000 to 18,000 people. And what's more dangerous than a big crowd? A crowd that is hungry. So naturally, the disciples want this crowd to disperse. And yet Jesus here does something different. We get that great Greek word for compassion again, splashomai, or something like that, splashomai. But it literally means to be moved in your gut, in your body. So Jesus, instead of sending everyone away, invites them to sit. And he tells the disciples, you give them something to eat. And even in this, there's a power move. You see, there was one entity at the time that was supposed to feed the people, Caesar. A cornucopia was stamped on every coin, a sign of wealth and fertility and security. That whole term, bread and circus, comes from the Roman Empire. For the emperor is the one who feeds you. And sometimes they intentionally don't feed you, to keep you in your place, to require your loyalty. So when Jesus gives them these powerful instructions, the disciples panic respond, all we have are these five small loaves and two fish. And Jesus says, that's enough. Bring it here. Jesus takes the food, blesses it, and breaks it, and gives it back to them. And after the disciples have distributed the food, there's enough for 12 baskets of leftovers. It's amazing. It's a miracle. It's abundance. not just for select few, but for everyone. I really do love this story for lots of reasons. I have a big picture of it in my office. I love it because it's not abstract. It's tangible. We all get hungry, right? Just like those parables we've been reading the last couple of weeks, this is about real things, people, and food. And I feel like even on my lowest days, that is something I can relate to. Bread. We all need food to live. It's essential. And here in the story, we have this beautiful reminder that God promises to give us exactly what we need, often not from a source we expect or anticipate, but it shows up nonetheless. I also love this story, not just because it's slightly dangerous and risky for Jesus, because I really want to believe this miracle story happens, not because Jesus is this great magician, but because this abundance happens through the generosity of a ton of people. Because one person loosened their grip over what they thought belonged only to them, this willingness to share is contagious. And everyone else admits that they too have something to share. It's this beautiful example of mutual aid, listening to the needs of our neighbors and opening our hearts. For I truly believe we all have something that we need to contribute for the sake of God's people. And when we lean in, when we lift up our hearts and open our fists, everyone will be fed, and the baskets of leftovers will overflow. One of the best parts about being a pastor is I get to witness this miracle happen over and over and over again. Abundance instead of scarcity. Generosity instead of selfishness. It brings me back to last summer when we did this experiment of passing lemonade during the commuting hours in July, and it was so hot, and commuting is so miserable. But we had these signs that said free lemonade, and the first week, hardly anyone stopped. They just could not believe it. And the second week, we had a few people stop, but they tried to give us money for it. And we're like, no, it's free. And they're like, why would it be free? And we just said, because. And by week three, we finally had some believers. We ran out of lemonade that week. So they're like, oh, I've been seeing these signs, and I finally believe you that this is free. But it still feels too good to be true, because it is too good to be true. That's what generosity does. This week, we had Vacation Bible School in this space. We had 16 goobers and 5 helpers, and then the staff from Abiding Presence here. And I have to tell you, it was so much fun. And also, it was free. Abiding Presence have been doing this for a couple of years, where they train their high schoolers to be leaders in their church. And it's spread like wildfire. These high schoolers and are now college kids, and they bring their friends. And Pastor Meredith is like, I have too many leaders for our program. And so last year, she called a couple of her friends, our neighboring Lutheran churches, and said, would you like to do Vacation Bible School? And we said, sure. And so they bring the staff, they bring the fun, all the science experiments and crafts, and we just get to open our doors and say yes. It's magic. It's so beautiful. And this is the gift of God's love. It's a miracle. It shouldn't exist, and yet it does. And when we share it, it doesn't disappear. It just gets louder and more expansive. Like the prophet Isaiah exclaims to us today, come, you without money, come and eat. This table is for you, and there's always space for one more chair. There's no RSVPs required. There will always be enough. And what we need is right here in our midst. God's abundant love is so radical that we have to celebrate this zany idea every week at communion, because otherwise I think we'd forget it. But each week at this table, we proclaim that what we need is right here. We take the bread and we bless it and we break it and we share it, just like Jesus did with those disciples and that giant crowd on that grassy hill. We proclaim at this table that all are welcome. This banquet is a reminder of God's love and provision for us. It's also an invitation to live the rest of our lives this way too, remembering indeed that all is a gift and we can't take it with us. In fact, God entrusts this in our hands so that we may share with those around us. Now, I've been living in this like camp bubble for the last 2 weeks. It's been really fun. Last week, I was at one of our Lutheran camps up in Frederick, Maryland, Marlew Ridge. And then this week at Vacation Bible School too. There's been this rhythm in camp life to stop and pray. Zany, I know. What? Pastor's surprised that we stop and pray for things. It's strange, but prayer is also really good for you. This sense to pause and remember that God is here, to pay attention and remember the abundance that is here. And so, you know, in both places, we've done these meal graces. And meals are kind of a natural time to pause, to have intention, to observe what is on our tables and give thanks and remember the abundance and the call to share. I will be the first to admit that prayers at mealtimes do not always happen, even at the pastor's house. But perhaps this is a good way, good week to take and re-pick up that habit. Not because we have to, but because it's a way to celebrate the feast that's showing up, to pause and remember the abundance in our midst. And so I have some tools for you if you've started sweating at the idea of praying. And Lutherans, we like a little script, right? So I have a prayer sheet for you. And I also have, for those arts and crafty people, you can make a prayer cube where you cut it out, glue it together, and you can like roll it. And yeah, it's gonna be great. But before we move on, I actually wanna teach you a grace that has to do with the text we've been talking about today. And so in natural camp fashion, repeat after me, and do as I do. Oh no, we gotta practice that. Ready? And do as I do. Ah, so much better. Come and dine, Jesus calls us, come and dine. Come and dine, Jesus calls us, come and dine. There is plenty at the table all the time. There is plenty at the table all the time. He who fed the multitude, he who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, turned the water into wine. To the hungry now he calls us, to the hungry now he calls us, come and dine. Yeehaw! Yes, we're going to turn into cowboys today. And so you got to get our claps going. We'll do it twice. Ready? Come and dine, Jesus calls us, come and dine. There is plenty at the table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry now he calls us, come and dine. Yeehaw! All right, one more time. And if you just want to listen and absorb, it's okay. But I appreciate the clapping enthusiasm, all right? Come and dine, Jesus calls us, come and dine. There is plenty at the table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry now he calls us, come and dine. Yeehaw! Amen. Thanks be to God.